Ma'akar at Toys to the Burnish of Islam, for allowing me in 1980 to come to England and bask in the warmth and radiance of the Manchester Shashiva Zecha Tzadik Lebracha. Yes, continue to be a Melech Yosha for all of us. The Gemara in Tainus tells us a very famous story. The Maitu ben Agdim ben Gurion. He was leading Klal Yisrael to the Oile Regel, and unfortunately there was no water. It hadn't rained for many months. He happened to bump into a headman, a master, who was not a Jewish person, and he said, "I'll make a deal with you. If you lend me 12 wells of water, and I do not repay you, I will fill those wells with gold and silver." The Gemara tells us that the year went by, and unfortunately did not rain the whole year. The Gemara continues and tells us it came to the last day, and he comes over to him and he says to this Nagdim Ben Gurion, "I'd like to have my gold and silver, please." He said, "What's the rush? The sun hasn't set yet." He started laughing at him. "What do you mean? It didn't rain the whole year." So the Gemara, he went into the bathhouse, this Hegmon, while Nagdim Ben Gurion went to the Beis HaMikdash. And he said to the Ribbono Shel Olam, "You know, Ribbono Shel Olam, I didn't do this to my own covet, to my own respect. I did it to you, Ribbono Shel Olam. Please, have rachmanis." The Gemara says he came back outside and the clouds started getting dark and it started to rain. And all the wells filled up. But unfortunately the Hegman comes over to him and says to him, "Yes, I know that the Ribbono Shel Olam loves your people, but unfortunately this rain belongs to me, because if you look at the sky, it is ready at the sunset. This water is in my zchus, not in the Jews' zchus." So he went back into the Beit HaMikdash again and he said, "Ribbono Shel Olam, go to your dula panecha. Ribbono Shel Olam, show the world that you have ahuv and you have loved ones." The Gemara tells us the clouds, they separated, the sun came out, and showed this Hegmon that really the rain came for the Jews and he was excused from paying back the gold and silver. The Masho explains what happened here. What was the lesson in this episode? This Hegmon, this master, wanted to show that Hashem does not love the Jewish people. He really loves the Gentiles. And he wanted to prove it. He made this deal because he knew it didn't rain for many months. How is it possible to repay that money? So therefore, he made this deal. But he went and davened to Ribbono Shel Olam, Nagdim Ben Gurion, and he said, "Please show the world that you love the Jews," and it started to rain. A person knows that we live in a world today of tribulation. We need a lot of emunah and betach and faith in Ribbono Shel Olam. And people have hard times, but if you have correct emunah, Ribbono Shel Olam will always save us. Let me share with you a beautiful story. Chaim and Leah, we'll use those fictitious names. Chaim and Leah live in New York, and he was having a very hard time with Panasa. He's a plumber by profession, but it wasn't going so easy. Someone suggested, "Why not go to Eretz Yisrael, get a bracha from some gedolim, you'll daven by the kfarim, let's be mispalel." So he and his wife went to Eretz Yisrael, and when they arrived to Eretz Yisrael, he has a cousin, a Rosh Hashiva in Bnei Brak. He thinks Chaim is a very rich man, so he says, "Listen, Chaim, when you come to Bnei Brak, please come for lunch, we'll have dinner together." He says, "Sure." His intention was to show him the new building that he wants to erect, and he wants him to, of course, be mishtateh to finish up the building. He comes here to show into Yerushalayim. He calls up, makes an appointment for lunch. He likes to be a little bit on time. He came about an hour before dinner time. The Rebbetzin says to them, "Listen, you're here a little bit early. Why not go to the new safari that just opened up in Bnei Brak? Have a good time and come back for dinner." He said, "Fine." He goes with his wife. They come to the safari. They pull up the car and the fence goes up. They go inside. And they see three lions sitting at the far end. So Leah says, "Chaim, you know, I got the creeps here. I think we should leave." He said, "Listen, we spent so much money. Let's enjoy it." So they're sitting there, and then all of a sudden the car started chuckling, started moving. They turn around, they look in the back, there's a lion sitting on the trunk, on the boot, I think you call it. They got a little bit nervous. "Chaim, get me out of here." "Leah, relax. We came so far, let's enjoy it." So they're waiting a little bit longer, and all of a sudden another lion jumps on the front. And the third lion wedges its way between the tire and the body of the car, and they can't even get the car into drive. And she's screaming and yelling, "Chaim, please, have rachmanis." And Chaim saw there's no way out. The lion started banging on the windshield really strongly. The windshield's about to crack any second. They thought they were coming for lunch. They didn't want to be lunch themselves. But unfortunately, the lions were mamash banging on the windows. And then Chaim says, "Ribbono Shel Olam, my cousin invited me to come because he wants me to help him with the building. If you get me out of here alive, in the future, I will help support this building. And all of a sudden, amazingly, the line from the back got off, the line from the front got off, and the line from the twin got away, and they got the car to drive, and they sped right back to Bnei Brak. They came to the house, they knocked on the door, the Rebbetzin opened up the door. No, did you have a good time? Yeah, terrific, it was wonderful. Come inside for lunch, the Rosh was about to come. They came inside, the Rosh Hashiva came, they had dinner together, it was very nice, all that old times. And then the Rosh Hashiva says, B'chaim, Nu Chaim, the time has come, now let's go see the yeshiva. He said, sure, be a wonderful idea. So they come to the yeshiva, and Chaim gets a shock of his life. What does he see? Just a foundation, no building. And he knows the Rosh Hashiva wants him to help build the building, and he made a Kabbalah that he wants to help him finish the building up, but he has no money. So he tells his cousin, yeah, Mish, I'm going back to America, I'll see what I can do for you, and with the Rebbeinu Shem's help, we'll see how much I can afford to help you. So Chaim comes back to America, and again, he has no panasa. He looks into the newspaper, and he sees there's an advert for minorities down in Brooklyn to come to look for job placements. He figures he'll go, he's also a minority, he'll also check it out. He comes down to this big, huge meeting, and unfortunately, he's the only white man in the whole building. He gets a little bit nervous. This is not for him. And the famous Reverend Jesse Jackson gets up to the podium and he starts talking about how the white men have stolen their houses, their cars, their parnasa. And he's sitting there in the back. He's ready to run out. I think he was scared of them more than the lions. And then all of a sudden, Jesse Jackson points him and says, you, come up here. He comes up to the front and he says, you know, you're also a minority. You also deserve a job. And he tells the secretary to take his name and address. They wrote it down. And they give him a standing ovation. And he goes back to the back of the room. And as soon as he was able to leave, he ran out. The next morning, amazingly, he gets in the mail a FedEx, which tells him that he should apply to a certain job in Manhattan to take care of a very high skyscraper, plumbing jobs. He didn't understand what was going on. He went down to take the job call. He does the job successfully. He got paid very well. And then again, the next day he gets another FedEx in the mail for another job, and yet another job. And every single day he's getting jobs. I don't know where it's coming from. One morning, he gets a phone call. Who's on the phone? Jesse Jackson. Aren't you wondering why you got all these jobs? He goes, yes, I was wondering. Well, to tell you the truth, my men weren't able to do these jobs. So we figured you're the only one that's licensed and able to do it. We sent you all those jobs. And Baruch Hashem, he became a very nice panasa. He helped this Rosh Hashiva and the Bnei Brak finish up the building. But his biggest shvach vahido was to the Rebbeinu Shel Olam for helping out in his time of need. If you go to a person and say, you need panasa, don't worry about it. Lions will come and help you. Americans will come and help you. The Rebbeinu Shel Olam can help a person in his time of need. We have to have amun and betach on the Rebbeinu Shel Olam that he will help us in all our necessities. There's a famous marshal I once heard years ago. Hitler, Stalin, and Winston Churchill, Yamach Shemam and Zichram, were once standing at the time of the war and had a bet. They were standing at a lake and they decided whoever will be able to catch a fish with whatever they have on themselves will be the winner of the war. So Hitler withdrew his revolver and started shooting at the water to kill the fish. And they started laughing at him. You'll never catch a fish like that. Stalin went, he rolled up his sleeves, he jumps into the water, and he tries to chop a fish, and they're laughing at him. You're not going to be able to catch a fish like that. And then Winston Churchill pulls out his pocket knife, he withdraws a spoon, and he starts emptying out the lake with the spoon. And they started laughing at him. You're more foolish than we are. He said, no. He said, there's one major difference. The way I'm doing it, at least after 50 years, eventually all the water will be out of the lake. I'll catch the fish. The way you're doing it, you'll never catch a fish. If a person does his shtalis, he tries. And he tries, it's one spoon, another spoon. Eventually he'll come to the tachlis. He has the amun and your shemaims of taking care of the Rebbeinu Shel Olam, to help the Rebbeinu Shel Olam in all his embedded, eventually he'll succeed. As a matter of fact, there's a very interesting Chafetz Chaim, you'll take a look. One of the footnotes of the Chafetz Chaim, I think it's in Klal Vav, says, if a person comes to a Din Torah, and the Din Torah paskin in favor of his opponent, and he loses, and really he knows that he was right, he should not fear. The Rebbeinu Shel Olam has done this especially. He will return his money to him in a different way. But the Rebbeinu Shel Olam has a cheshbonus. Even though you lost and you don't understand why, the Rebbeinu Shel Olam had a cheshbon for it. But don't fear, don't fret. The Rebbeinu Shel Olam will take care of you. I think it's in Klal Vav. You'll take a look. The Moedig Chizik for a person, the Emunah Betachin. Even if things don't go the way you want it to go, the Rebbeinu Shel Olam has his cheshbonus. He will help you. But we have what he wants from us is emunah betachin, even down to the wire. We will not give up from the Rebbeinu Shalom. We read this week's parsha, Hashem beirach et Avram bar Koil. If you think about it, it's a little bit strange. Avram Avinu just lost his wife, and it was very hard for him. He's going through a very tragic state. And Hashem says to him, don't worry, beirach et Avram bar Koil. Hashem gave Avram Avinu everything. What's the pshat? The teretz is a person can't focus on the things that don't go the way that he wanted to go, and it's hard. There's hardships in this world. But Hashem beirach et Avram bar Koil. The Rebbeinu Shem has such bonus. You look at the good, if you focus on the good with the correct amunah, amunah could save us from all types of tragedies and all types of depressment that a person, chas v'shalom, could bump into. We have to have our amunah in the Rebbeinu Shem. Let me share with you another beautiful story I just recently heard. I was interviewing someone called Rachel Stern, who happens to be the sister of the late Rav Moshe Aaron Stern from Yerushalayim. And she was telling me a story about her father. Her father, Oliver Sholem, was called Y.L. Stern. And Y.L. Stern was a Yid who came in 1930s to America, and he needed a panasa, so he joined the Columbia University College and took a course in CPA to become an accountant. He was the top student in the class. He was averaging maybe 98 to 99 in every test that he took. It came to the final test. It was given on Shavuos. The professor wanted to get him, and the professor said to him, now we're going to divide the men and the boys. The last test is on your holiday. If you want to pass your CPA, you'll make sure you're here to take that test. If not, you'll have to come back and repeat the year all over again. She said, but I don't understand, professor. I'm your top student. How can you do that to me? So he said, I want to see how serious you are about this accounting. He decided he had no choice. He went to the dean of the school, and he tells the dean, sir, the professor is putting me through a very big test. I can't do this. I'm more religious to my religion than I am to my accounting. He said, listen, you're going to have to take it. You have no choice. And he says, okay, if I have no choice, I'm not going to take it. I'll have to do the year over again. He starts walking out and says, come back a second. Are you really serious? He says, sure, I'm serious. I'll tell you what I'm going to do. Is there anyone in your family that you trust? He says, yes, I trust my father. He says, good. I'm giving you the test. It's in a sealed envelope. The second your holiday is over, your father shall give you the test. But once the 3 hours are over, you have to stop. He says, fine, I'll do it. He comes home with the test, and Moshe Shavuos, his father sits down with him. They put the little clock on, and he starts taking his test, a 3-hour vigorous test. 3 hours were over. His father chopped the test away from him. He was just doing the last answer. He goes, Papa, let me just do the last answer. He says, no, 3 hours are over. The test is over. Takes the test, puts it into the envelope, seals it, and he gives it to take back to the dean. The next morning, he goes back to the dean, gives him the test paper. The dean opens it up, and he says, very impressive. The professor found out about it, and the professor wanted to take the dean to court. The dean tells the professor, you know if we go to court, you're going to lose. And you're going to lose your job as well. I suggest you just swallow it hard and let this man just graduate and let him be on. The professor tells the dean, but how do you know he's honest? He goes, come, let me show you the test. Take a look at this last answer. He stopped and moved the sentence. If he really wanted to be scrupulous, he would have finished that answer, but he was honest and he didn't finish the answer. He must be telling the truth. He says, I think you're right, sir. He passed the CPA with flying colors. He was a top student of Columbia University at that time in the 1930s. It was the year after the Depression years. Now he needed a job. He started looking for a job, and America was very hard in those days as well as everywhere else. He came to one firm. They hired him immediately. He's a top student. Why not? But then it came Friday. Are you coming in tomorrow? Sadly, I can't come in. I'm a religious Jew. Well, sadly, you don't have your job anymore. Then he went to the next firm and to the next firm. And he came to the conclusion that he's not going to get a job as an accountant. So what did he do? He decided he's going to start addressing envelopes. They were giving a fee for each envelope that he addressed. And that's how he made his panasa. He was a top student from university. But for the Rebbeinu Shalom, everything goes. And for 2 years he did this. He and his Rebbetzin, she was the daughter of all for the boss, so he had to Herman. And this is what they did for panasa. They used to write envelopes for the whole day. 2 years later, one day, there's a knock on the door. There's a police officer there. How can I help you? I'm looking for Y.L. Stern. He goes, that's me. He says, we need you. I beg your pardon? There's been an embezzlement in the court system. There seems to be someone who happens to be stealing millions of dollars. We can't figure out how they're doing it and who's doing it. Could you help us out? So he said, sure. He said, but I'm a religious Jew. He said, it's not a problem. You'll work your own hours, but you'll work until you figure out this case. In retrospect, it took him 4.5 months, but he finally figured it out, who was the person who was stealing and how he was embezzling the money. They arrested the person, put him behind bars, and he was paid a salary that lasted him for over 2.5 years. He was very, very comfortable. But time went on, and he still couldn't get a job. He still had to work on Shabbos. So when the 2.5 years was over and the money was all gone, he went back to the envelopes again. It was amazing. Mesiras Nefesh. He did this for another 0.5 year, and then one day there was a knock on the door. This limousine pulls up in front of the door, and he said, I'm looking for Y.L. Stern. The man was dressed in a top hat, fancy cape. He says, I'm Y.L. Stern. He says, you know, I've been looking for you for 2.5 years. He says, what do you mean? We heard about this embezzlement case, and we found out that you're the person that figured it out. I've been looking for you, but every time I tried bribing the officers to find out who the accountant was, they would never turn to me. Finally, this week, I found one person. He took the money, and we opened up the files, and all of a sudden, there was Y.L. Stern. I looked in the phone book, and you're the only Y.L. Stern in the book. I want a man like you to work for me. He said, but I have one problem, sir. What's the problem? He goes, I'm a religious Jew. He said, it's not a problem. He took off his top hat, and he was wearing a yarmulke. I, too, am a religious Jew. You will work for me, and no one works on Shabbos. Y.L. Stern was a very successful, wealthy man. He became very rich. He started helping out Yisrael and Almonis. People were coming during the war years to America. He would sign for them. Rav Moshe Aaron is the product of this man. And the whole Mishpacha, Al Torah Ba'avodim Yerushalayim. And he was able to support the family. Why? Because Emun and B'tachon the Rabbi Nishalim. As a person holds strong, the Rabbi Nishalim never forsakes a person that has faith in him. But we have to do our job. We have to mamish, give everything that we have for the Rabbi Nishalim to all extents. There's a beautiful Dvar Torah here from the Chofetz Chaim. It's not so popular. It's written in the Av Chesed of his Sefer. And it's a beautiful part. In Parshas Ekev, there are three psukim. One pasuk says, by Sheini, Lelechet Bedrachav Uliyira Isai. You have to go in the ways of Hashem and to have fear of Him. Lelechet Bedrachav means to go in the ways of Hashem, Mahu Chanan, Avata Chanan. He's merciful, you have to be merciful. The Rebbeinu Shel Olam tells us, and then Liyiroi says, shall fear him. There's a pasuk in Chamishi. The pasuk says in Chamishi, Liyiroi say, you shall fear Hashem, Lelechet Bedrachav, go in his ways, Ula'avoi say, and to love him. And there's a pasuk in Shri. It says, La'avoi say, love him. Again, Lelechet Bedrachav, to go in his ways. And finally, Ledavkabam. So the Chofetz Chaim says like this, beautiful part. He says, if a person wants to come to the very high madrega of Yerushalayim, how do you do it? He says, the only way to do it is lech bedrachav, is to help other people. Mahu chanan avata chanan. If you help people and you do chesed for others, you can come to the madrega of Yerushalayim. What happens when a person is finally at the madrega of Yerushalayim? How can he come to the next madrega of Avas Hashem? The pasuk says, liyiroisoy, if you have already attained Yerushalayim, which is a very high madrega, still, lelechet bedrachav, go in his ways, and then la'avoy so. You want to come to a higher madrega in Yerushalayim, to avas Hashem? You have to do chesed. Do for others. Finally, a person comes to the madrega of avas Hashem. It's a very high madrega. I hope we'll be zaycha to that. But now he wants to come to the highest madrega of dveikis Hashem. How do you do that? That's the pasuk in Shvi, la'avoy so. Lelechet bedrachav, ledavkavoy. You have ava already, and you want to get to dveikis? Lelechet bedrachav. You have to chesed for others. You can't lock yourself in and just think about yourself. If you do for others, you can come to the highest madrega of the basis. The beautiful voice in the time. How does a person do that? Again, with emunah. If you have faith in Hashem brings people to all sorts of mitzvahs, to emunah, comes to chesed. Person doesn't feel someone's cheating him because he has emunah. If someone's taking something from him, he'll get it back from him. With emunah, faith in HaKadosh Baruch Hu, a person can attain all levels. I recall I had the schutz to be a Talmud in Manchester Shiva, so I was once zeichet to go with him to a place called Zemmering, Austria, which was his summer home, and he used to learn day and night. Alavai, my winter should be like his summers, and he used to sit and learn the whole day. So I recall a lady called from America at that time. She's very distressed. It was 9 o'clock in Austria, and she said to him that she has a very pressing problem. She had to speak to the Rosh Hashiva. So the Rosh Hashiva Zatzal said, "Do you mind calling me back and not at 9:15? I'd like to daven Maariv first. Call me back." Lady put down the phone. The Rosh Hashiva put down the phone, and I saw him that he was thinking. And I said, "Is something wrong, Rosh Hashiva?" He says, "Yes, I told her to call me 9:15. I think she must have thought I meant 9:15 American time, which really in Austria is 3:15 in the morning." So I said, "Rosh Hashiva, not planning on staying up for 3:15, are you?" He says, "Do I have a choice? There's a lady in Nebuchadnezzar. How can I go to sleep?" So I said, "Okay, if Rosh Hashiva feels that's the way to do it, fine." I, of course, went to sleep, but in the morning, I see the Rosh Hashiva, did she call? He said, "Yes, she did. 3:15 in the morning, she called." The Rosh Hashiva couldn't go to sleep. There's a Yid, Nebuchadnezzar, has tzar. How can I go to sleep? And he stayed up to those hours of the night to help this lady out. Because when a person has a moon in the Rebbeinu Shalaylam, everything is the Rebbeinu Shalaylam, you can do for anyone, for everyone. That's the avoda of a yid. I still recall another mind, this is a very interesting story. I once had this chutz, when we went to Austria, we were there for 2 months. She was away from Manchester for a few months, and we were returning. When we came to the station, the train station, I looked out the window as we were about to disembark, and I see hundreds of yeshiva bachurim on the platform. So I said to Rosh Hashiva, I said, "Wow." He says, "Well, what is? I said, "There's hundreds of Bnei Torah on the platform." And he humbly looked down back in his sefer. We got off the train and everybody started singing Yom Yimei Melech. It was a big parade, big signs. He wasn't home for 2 months. And as Rosh Hashiva got off the train, they grabbed him, they pulled him away, you know, in the big tarad, and they're walking out of the train station, and I'm left behind with the luggage. I'm schlepping along. Until for the last 2 months, I was his gabbai, you know, I was in the fame of the lights. And now I lost my position already. I felt a little bit down. And the Shiva's continuing on with the whole parade. They're leaving. And about 2 minutes later, I see the whole Olam is coming back. Everyone is returning. And the Shiva at the forefront comes over to me and he whispers in my ear. He said, "You should know this whole parade is for you. It's not for me." So I said, "Why does the Shiva feel that way?" He goes, "I have proof." I said, "Shiva has proof. What's the proof?" He said, "Look at the sign. Does it say Baruch Haba or does it say Bruchim Habayim in plural?" I said, "Yes, it says Bruchim Habayim." I told you it's for you. The Rosh Hashiva and his humble fellow, a person is in a situation where he forgets himself. People are dancing and singing, but if you think about others, a person can concentrate on other people, then you have the correct amount, you're more geared to understanding other people's feelings. This was the Rosh Hashiva Zecher Tzadik L'Vracha. I also recall an interesting story I once had with Rav Moshe Feinstein's Ratzal. I was a little boy, I was about 12 years old, 13, and I lived in Williamsburg section of Brooklyn, and the Rosh Hashiva Ratzal, he lived in New York, in Manhattan. We took a train over. I was a young boy, but I wanted to take a train early at 6:30 in the morning. We came to the Beis Medrash, and as we were in the Beis Medrash, I wanted to see Rav Moshe Feinstein. They say his mamash had a face like a malach. So I came inside, and we're waiting. The door opens up, no Rosh Hashiva. The door opens again. The Rosh Hashiva still didn't come. Finally, the Rosh Hashiva came in, and it was an amazing thing for a child to see that Rav Moshe Feinstein's Ratzal. It was a tremendous thing. We started davening, and before davening was over, his gabbai came walking out of the Beis Medrash. Rav Moshe is not feeling well. Do us a favor, please. Do not shake his hand. Please don't be my chief. You can watch and see how they fill in and so forth, but please don't disturb the Rosh Hashiva. He's not feeling well. And I had a thought. What can I do for Rav Moshe? I want to do something for the Rosh Hashiva so that I can say, "I was a little boy, I wanted to do something that I could say later on, I did this for Rav Moshe Feinstein." So I thought, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to go to the back of the Beis Medrash and I'm going to hold the door open for him. So when he leaves, I could say to my friend, "I held the door open for Rav Moshe Feinstein." Okay, so I went to the back of the Beis Medrash, I put my foot in the door, I wanted to make it a little non-obvious. And finally, the crowd is dispersing, the Rosh Hashiva is coming up closer, he's holding his talisman filling in his hand. And as he gets to the door, he gives the talaf and tefillin to his gabbai. He comes over to me and he says, "Yashikayach." He gives me his hand, he shakes my hand, "Yashikayach." And I was amazed. How did the Rosh Hashiva, I did this on the day of Mosa, by the way, they didn't notice. So that's why I saw with the gabbai. And the Rosh Hashiva gave me his hand. Why is that? Because Rav Moshe Feinstein was attuned. He was concentrating. He saw people doing a chesed thing. He saw it. So therefore, he was able to appreciate, to show his appreciation. A person has to come to a madrega only with a moon and betachin. You come to a madrega to think about people, because when you have a moon and betachin, you don't think about yourself. You're only thinking about others. And if a person delves into a moon and betachin, you talk of shtai to great madregas. How do we get to a moon and betachin? Well, one obvious way is, of course, we take a chavis avavis. We can learn about moon and betachin very stark. I remember the mentions of Shiva Zatzal used to carry in his pocket a sefer called Mitzvah Betachin from a Chumana. It has different sukkim of Amunah, and every day we learn a little bit, and it gives you a lot of chizik. When a person goes through different trials and tribulations, you learn the sefer gives you chizik, the beautiful sefer. We have to work on Amunah B'tachin. But the ikazach of Amunah B'tachin we have to know is Limud HaTorah. I want to share with you my last story, this one, for today. It's a beautiful story, and it just shows you the chizik of Talmud Torah, of Limud HaTorah. In America, there lives a Yid, I don't want me to say his name, a Rav. We'll call him Rabbi Yitzchak. Rabbi Yitzchak was a bacher in yeshiva in the 1940s, right after the Mechama. He was learning in yeshiva. And one day the yeshiva comes over to Yitzchak and says, Yitzchak, I need a very big favor from you. You speak Yiddish. There's a young boy that just came over from Europe. He lost his father and his mother in the war. He's all alone. He's about 9 or 10 years old now. He's coming to the yeshiva. I want you to take care of him. He said, sure, yeshiva, of course I'll do the best I can. You speak Yiddish, you'll make him feel at home. The bacher came into the yeshiva and Yitzchak took care of him. And then one day he noticed something very strange. This bacher, wherever he went, he had a little, we call it a Barton's, it's a candy company in America. He had a Barton's box. And in this box, he had something in there, and wherever he walked, he had this box with him. He went to sleep at night, he put the box next to his pillow. When he took a shower, he put the box next to the shower. And wherever he went, he had this little box. So you can imagine the boys will be boys. They wanted to know what's in that box. But he would never let go of that box. One day, they were in class, and the Rebbe had to go out for an emergency. And the boy started teasing him, Yankala, what's in the box? What's in the box? So he held the box very tightly. He said, it's nothing. And the boy started teasing him, and they grabbed the box away from him. They opened up the box, and what do you see in the box? A piece of soap. And he started laughing at him, Yankala, you nourish a boy, this is what you're holding in the box. He starts to cry and veining, shrekwach. The Rebbe walks back into the class, he sees the whole turmoil, he says, what's tzachdo? He said, Rebbe, we find, oh, they took the box away, look what he has in the box, a piece of soap. So the Rebbe chap, what's tzachdo? And he says, so Yankala, is this what I think it is? He says, yes, Rebbe. He says, why? He says, listen, I haven't had my parents. I don't even know what they look like. I was a young boy when they were Nifta in the Mechama. I don't know. I have no pictures of them. But they say that the Germans, Yamach Shemam, used to take the bodies and make soap. So I thought maybe in this bar of soap are my parents. So of course the boys started to cry. They felt very bad. And they tried to ask Mechila, but Yitzchak was very, very hurt. And as time went by, he left the yeshiva. And they never heard from him again. Yitzchak himself grew up, he became a prominent rabbi in a different city in America. And one day his balabas comes over to him and says to him, you know, I donated a large sum of money to a hospital in Yerushalayim. I'd like you to go and check it for me. I'd like to take a tour and see how they invested my money. So Yitzchak was very obliging. He went. He was in the hospital, they're giving him a tour. He's looking at the whole hospital. And all of a sudden, down the hallway, he hears someone saying, Yitzchak, is that you? Turns around and he sees a doctor coming towards him. He says, yes. He says, aren't you Yitzchak? He said, yes, I am. Do you recognize me? He starts staring at him and he goes, Yankala, right? He says, that's right. Yankala was wearing a beard with hair behind his ears, a chashev yid. He says, Yankala, whatever happened? He says, I left the yeshiva, I went to university, became a doctor. And then I came to Eretz Yisrael and I saw the beauty of Torah. Baruch Hashem, I have a family and children. Please, come tonight to supper. I'd like to introduce you to my family. He goes, for you, Yankala, for sure. Comes that evening, they sat down for dinner, and he's showing them pictures of the whole family, and he introduces to the children. They're coming to learn Mishnayis for him, and it's a beautiful Yiddish shtub. And they're reminiscing about the old times, and when finally the suda was over, they're walking in the back garden, and Yitzchak says to Yankala, Yankala, can I answer your question? He said, sure. He says, whatever happened to that box? He said, I knew you were going to say that. He says, come with me. He shows him the backyard. There's a beautiful tree, a fruit tree. And he says, I buried the box underneath the tree. He says, why'd you do that for? He said, because as I learned the beauty of Torah, I learned that a person cannot live with the past. A person has to live with the Rebbeinu Shalom. He has to look at the future. So I put the box under the tree because the tree blossoms. The fruits give off their beauty. So he says, so is too with the Torah. A person cannot live with his past. He has to see the beauty of Torah. The Rebbeinu Shalom is his tata, is his father, and he has to live with the Rebbeinu Shalom. And therefore I buried the box. And the Yitzchak told me over the story, and he said to me how much of a chizik he got. A person has to be dveikus with the Rebbeinu Shalom and his Torah. He's our true father. If a person has a moon and betachen, it will get him through life, through all trials and tribulations. It will make him a strong yid. He will get a chizik in Torah, a chizik in chesed, a chizik to live a life of a Jew. We should all be zeicher that the Mashiach should come with the Mehevi Amen. And Yashapeh for letting me speak today.